Now today we are coming to this very wonderful seventh chapter of Romans. We've labeled this chapter, Powerless Sanctification. Now we began the theme of sanctification way back in chapter 5. With the last part of that chapter, we had potential sanctification. And then we saw positional sanctification. That is that we're in Christ, the resurrected Christ, not the one who walked here 1900 years ago, but the one who died, rose from the dead, and even at this moment is at the right hand of God, and we're identified with him, and we're to reckon on that, and on that basis we are to present ourselves to him, because the Christian life is something actually that you and I cannot live. We can't do it ourselves. The very interesting thing is, though, God never asks you or me to live the Christian life. What he does ask is he wants to live it through us. That's the only way it can be produced. Now, will you notice in this chapter that there are two things that we need to mention as the subjects. We see first the shackles of a saved soul. That takes in just about the first 14 verses. That is, the law cannot produce sanctification in the life of the believer. It merely shackles him. And then the second great subject here is we see the struggle of the saved soul. The shackles of a saved soul and then the struggle of the saved soul. Now, let's get underway. And the believer, by the way, and I should say this, cannot produce sanctification in his life by depending on the desire of the new nature. Just to say, I want to live for Christ and all that, that won't get you anywhere. Not until you and I take this act of presenting ourselves to him and recognizing that we're joined to the living Christ. Oh, how important that is. Now, this chapter is very important, as we've suggested. And I can't overemphasize that. Dr. Griffith Thomas quotes Dr. Alexander White. He says, Dr. White once said that whenever a new book on Romans comes out and is sent to him by its publisher for consideration, he at once turns to the comments on chapter 7, and according to the view taken of that important section, he decides upon the value of the entire work. And the very interesting thing is that you're going to find Paul very logical all through this section, friends. It was Godet that said, and I'm quoting, it's 100 to 1 when a reader does not find the Apostle Paul logical that he's not understanding his thoughts. Now, I was brought up on this, by the way. I had a very wonderful Bible teacher. He'd never really been a pastor, always an itinerant Bible teacher going around from place to place holding conferences. He was a great blessing to multitudes of people, and he was an especial blessing to me. But he taught this. He said, you are to miss the seventh chapter of Romans. He said, now you are to detour around the seventh chapter of Romans. You mustn't live there. You are to get in the eighth chapter. Well, for several years I said that. But you see, I've been a pastor now a long, long time. And friends, I've come to the conclusion that you're not to miss the seventh chapter of Romans. If you have been a pastor and have lived with the saints as I've lived with them, you come to the conclusion that you wish that many of the church members would get into the seventh chapter of Romans, because the man who got into the seventh chapter of Romans is the man who got into the eighth chapter of Romans. And I'm of the opinion that the way into the eighth chapter of Romans is through the seventh chapter. I think that's the route that most of us come anyway. Well, we're not to detour around it, because if you do, you're on a detour and you're not on the direct route. And it reminds me of that little jingle that goes like this, to dwell above with saints in love. Oh, that will be glory, but to stay below with the saints I know, well, that's another story. Now, there is something else that we need to see here, that we see the struggle of a saved soul, and he reaches out and grabs a straw. Sometimes that straw is the law. And when he does, he finds out that he's got hold not of a straw or even of a life preserver, but actually of a sack of cement, and it's going to pull him in under. And he can't live that way. And as a result, there are multitudes of the saints that accept defeat today as normal Christian living. I'm of the opinion that there are many saints that are satisfied to go on the low level of a sad, shoddy, sloppy saint of God in their living. And God doesn't want us on that. He doesn't want us to come that route. The very fact that today so many are living on that low plane is an evidence that this is true. Now, this chapter, therefore, reveals powerless sanctification. In fact, this is the way you don't do it. Many years ago, there was a cartoon in the paper when it was so popular to do it yourself. Everything was a do it yourself. In fact, there were certain shops that sold things to do it yourself. And the cartoon showed one of these mild-mannered men going into one of these do-it-yourself shops. His hands were all bandaged up, and his arms, and his head was bandaged up. And he asked the clerk back of the counter, and this is what was under the cartoon, "Do you have any undo-it-yourself kits?" And we need to learn that we cannot do it ourselves. We need an undo-it-yourself kit. That means to turn it over to the Spirit of God, to yield to Him. Now, the Mosaic Law is the place where many Christians go to try to find Christian living. And Paul's going to show that the law, the Mosaic Law, has no claim on the believer. Actually, the law condemned man to die. It was a ministry of condemnation. And you're not going to look up the judge who sentenced you to die to ask him how you're going to live.